You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Locked On Saints podcast, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints. We are brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where you get to hear the local experts on the biggest stories, your team, every day. I am your host, Ross Jackson, and a big thank you and welcome to our new listeners. Whether this is your first time or your next time, I always love hearing from everybody that tunes in, reads, and follows. So know that you can hit me up on Twitter at RossJacksonASC, and you already know that ASC stands for AllSaintsConsidered.com, where you can find my, as well as other talented writers, articles, and podcasts, your source for up-to-the-minute Saints news, opinions, and analysis for Saints fans by Saints fans. Well, the Saints got a win at home against the Browns yesterday, but left much to be desired, but this time on the offensive side of the ball. I'll give you my reactions and recap Sunday's game. It's Monday, so you know we got to get our motivation Monday on. The Saints take on the Falcons in Atlanta on Sunday, so you know they're going to go through whatever they have to do to get a win out there. Then we'll finish up by taking a look at some of the biggest stories from around the league. I've got injury updates, surprise departures, and even a surprise retirement. All that and a little bit of land yap here on Locked On Saints. So yesterday, the Saints beat the Browns 21-18. It's hard to say that the Saints beat them more than it is. It's a lot easier to say that the Browns beat themselves in a way. So look, the Saints missed on a couple of touchdowns in each quarter of the first half, including a wide open Ben Watson that just got overthrown on the Saints' second drive. And then Drew Brees also missed on a deep pass to Ted Ginn, which was really, honestly, it wasn't really that he missed on it, it was just missed time. There was some pressure from the defensive line that he couldn't get the ball out when he needed to. So with those miscues, the Saints ended up going into halftime having scored only 3 points. Some early turnovers within those first two quarters as well also ended up limiting some possessions for New Orleans. Both Michael Thomas and Ted Ginn Jr. had 3 points, but had fumbles. But despite that, the Saints were trailing only 6-3. The Saints then fell behind 2 scores, 12-3, going into the fourth quarter after Zane Gonzalez, the Browns kicker, missed an extra point after a touchdown and also missed a field goal in the third quarter. A trend was being set. The Saints then took the lead 18-12 after 2 Michael Thomas touchdowns and an Alvin Kamara two-point conversion, a Marcus Williams interception, and a spark from a kick from our new kick returner, apparently, Taysom Hill. The Browns connected on a 47-yard bomb, only to end up missing the ensuing point after attempt, leaving the game tied 18-18. The Saints took over the lead at 21-18 with 21 seconds left in the game, giving Cleveland just enough time to be able to get in position for a 52-yard field goal attempt, which, you guessed it, Zane Gonzalez missed, sealing the victory for New Orleans. Gonzalez missed 2 field goals and 2 extra points, literally doing everything possible to keep the Saints in a game that they were barely able to keep themselves in. The Browns are, surprise, surprise, expected to move on and find a new place kicker this week. Aside from the Browns' kicking woes, however, the Saints' defense did help keep them in the game, limiting the Browns to barely over 300 total yards. The defense added 3 sacks and a fourth quarter interception by Marcus Williams, who really needed a positive to help himself get his track corrected at the top of the season. Williams didn't even have his first interception last season until week 3, and then he managed to not get his second one until week 14. So hopefully this is a sign of what's to come early for the young safety who had 7 interceptions during training camp. The Saints pass rush was more effective against a less equipped offensive line than what apparently Tampa Bay has, who also didn't allow much pressure from the Eagles yesterday in their win. Against the Eagles. Tampa Bay has now started 2-0. And if you predicted that, again, hit me up. Let me know about those Powerball numbers. Give me some lottery help. Marcus Davenport continues to look great against the run and also had two hurries in pass rushing yesterday, including bearing down on Tyrod Taylor as he threw that interception that ended up going to Marcus Williams. Demario Davis was huge in run defense, leading the charge as the Saints limited Duke Johnson, Carlos Hyde, and Nick Chubb to less than 100 yards rushing combined. Davis also looked like he was having a ton of fun out there on the field, which kept the spirits up against his old squad. It was a much different defensive look than the one that we saw last week, in which the team was immediately deflated. Marshon Lattimore even improved greatly in coverage, allowing only 3 catches for 22 yards. And he also had a tackle for a loss on a great play in which he recognized a screen pass and then got in the backfield with him. It was great play. Ken Crawley really only struggled because of a 47-yard touchdown to Antonio Callaway on a beautifully placed deep ball by Tyrod Taylor, which you don't get to say often, so I feel like I'd say it now. Were it not for that touchdown, he'd have only allowed 2 catches on 6 targets for 32 yards. That was the fourth quarter touchdown that was thrown on, I think it was like a 4th-and-2 or something like that. All of the major issues and concerns from this game, aside from that late deep ball in the fourth quarter, came from the offense for me. This was something that we saw a lot during last season as well. The Saints failing to play a complete game outside of Buffalo last year, in which the Saints have all 3 elements at the same time clicking. More importantly, they could never seem to get it all clicking on offense and defense at the same time, leave alone special teams. If this team could just get both units on and popping at the same time, it truly could be unstoppable. But just like 2017, 2018 has opened without being able to excel on both sides of the ball simultaneously. The Saints also continue to struggle on third down, converting only 3 of 12. My homie Tyler McClatchy wrote an article back when Cameron Meredith was signed about how he could be the guy to solve that. But the Saints haven't been able to play him in the first 2 games yet due to a lack of snaps in the preseason, and they're trying to take some time to get him up to speed. How much of the Saints' struggles this early in the season have to do with rust? Not really sure, but all that I know is that the Saints have a real test ahead of them in Atlanta. Even without Deion Jones, Keanu Neal, Devontae Freeman, and now potentially Tack McKinley, depending on what his cryptic "this sucks" tweet was about this morning, the Falcons still have a solid team playing at home in a divisional matchup where lots of wacky stuff happens. The Saints still have some kinks to work out before their next game, but I expect that the defense, I didn't expect that the defense would completely iron out everything in 1 week. So I expect to see more improvement going into Atlanta, and that could not come at a better time. However, I also didn't expect to see the Saints offense take a step back in 1 week either. So unless they're able to find a way to get all of the elements rocking at the same time, they'll continue to stumble. And, you know, they got a little lucky this week, and that won't always be the case. All right, y'all, stick around, because coming up, we've got news from around the league. But first, we're going to take a look ahead to this Sunday's matchup to see what's motivating the Saints as they get set to take on the Falcons in Atlanta. Fantasy football is now underway, and we now have 2 fantasy football shows to help you. Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 gives you all the latest news, waiver suggestions, and injury news. And Locked On Fantasy Football is now Locked On Fantasy Football Experts with amazing guests every day. Monday, Tom Kesenick. Tuesdays, Eric Edholm. And on Wednesdays, Jeff Ratliff and Tyler Lochner. People stay coming with the questions about who they should be betting on, and I keep telling you, I don't know. But if you think that you know on a weekly basis, you need to be checking out my bookie. I'll tell you one more time. Look, they've been in business for years. They got great reviews online. Their mobile site is so easy to use that I use it. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. And that's why I always tell people to bet with my bookie. They're your best bet this season. I only recommend services to my listeners that have been good to me, and that's why I'm urging you to make your way to my bookie. You win, they pay, with live in-game betting, over-unders on fantasy points scored, the most rewarding player perks in the business. My bookie is slammed with new bettors, and they want to make sure that everyone gets the best service possible. So if you're willing to wait to deposit until after 7 p.m. Eastern time, they give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate that offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. If you're willing to wait until after 7 p.m., you can get an additional $25 of free play by using promo code LOCKEDON25. So it's up to you, but I definitely wait until after 7 p.m. to get the extra $25 free play. Take that extra money, then you play, you win, you get paid. What's good, family? Welcome back. This is time now for our weekly Monday segment, Motivation Monday, where we take a look at what's driving the team, the city, and the players going into their next matchup. This next matchup is up against the Atlanta Falcons. This is a rivalry that we in New Orleans have known about forever, but the media is just starting to get a hold to, I think it was Shannon Sharp recently that was like, yo, y'all sleeping on this. Look, the Falcons and the Saints both came into the league only one season apart, and the Falcons were actually the first opponent that the newly organized Saints played in New Orleans during the inaugural preseason of 1967. They also played their first regular season game in week 11 of that same season, which was a 27-24 victory for New Orleans at home. The Saints then went on to lose the next nine in that series, but continued to play the Falcons yearly in the preseason. Things got really, really real when the Saints and Falcons found themselves in the same division in 1970 post-merger. That at the time was the NFC West division, and they had to play twice per season. The two teams met once in the postseason. That was in 1991, which resulted in a heartbreaking 27-20 loss for the Saints after a 61-yard touchdown with just under 3 minutes left put the Falcons on top. Things got even tighter after the next expansion in 2002, in which the Saints and Falcons remained in the same division along with the Panthers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which the division then became the NFC South. So it was only four teams per division playing twice per year. So they got really acquainted at that point. However, the rivalry really picked up national attention in 2006 when the Saints and Falcons faced off in the first game back in the Superdome after Hurricane Katrina. The aptly named Revival took place when safety and special teams ace Steve Gleason blocked a punt, which led to the first score in the Dome post-Katrina. That game ended up being a Saints victory 23-3, not 28-3, 23-3. And it was hosted by ESPN, or ESPN aired that game rather, and it would end up being the highest paid program on ESPN for quite a bit too, that game. The rivalry has continued since to grow and grow. Last year, the Saints and Falcons split their series one game apiece, including a brutal Thursday night color rush game that resulted in many injuries on the Saints side of the ball. The second matchup, which was the Saints win, came on Christmas Eve and included the ever popular butt pick by Marshawn Lattimore. This year, the teams will actually get another holiday game as they meet in the Superdome on Thanksgiving. For now, the two teams will come to a head this coming Sunday in Atlanta, and which sure to be truly a hell of a matchup. I mentioned earlier that the Falcons are going to be down at least Deion Jones, Keanu Neal, and Devontae Freeman. But, I mean, they've still got, I mean, Duke Riley is another LSU linebacker who has some potential. Demonte Casey, who was ejected and will be fined but not suspended, so he'll be able to play in place of Keanu Neal. And then they still have Tevin Coleman and Ito Smith in that backfield on the offense. And then, of course, their wide receivers, Julio Jones, who still hasn't scored a touchdown this season, but is a threat. But, you know, Marshawn Lattimore will try to lock him up. And rookie Calvin Ridley, who had a score this past game against who they play. Oh, the Panthers. So, look, I mean, they might be down a few folks, but they're not down and out at all. As divisional opponents and top tier talents, like, they could be standing in each other's way in order to progress through the playoffs and make it to that very stadium that they'll play in on Sunday at the end of this year, or at the beginning of next year, for Super Bowl 53, as it is also held in Atlanta. Both teams have gotten off to a little bit of a stumbly and surprising start at 1-1 and are now looking to prove themselves as contenders for the title. And it'll all start week three with a game that we have had our eyes on for a long time as we, you know, as the, and I'm sure that the Falcons have as well, but this has sort of been the one that, you know, everybody circled and said, okay, this is a big game coming up, but we also expected to start this season or expected the Saints to start this season 2-0, not necessarily 1-1. So fingers are still crossed that we can get started here 3-1 at the top of this season, as that increases our playoff odds in our own history as well as NFL history as well. But in order to do that, the road starts week three in Atlanta through the Falcons. All right, everybody, that does it for our Motivation Monday. Up next, we'll take a look at the biggest news from around the NFL. The Locked On Network is now expanding with college shows coming this week. Locked On Wolverines, Locked On Buckeyes, and Locked On Seminoles. Plus, we've already locked on the Ducks, Nittany Lions, Bears, the Crimson Tide, the Wildcats, Razorbacks, Volunteers, and Cougars. Find your favorite college show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Spotify. All right, so the Saints are going on a little bit of a road trip coming up with their next two games. They'll be in Atlanta, and then they'll be in New York to take on, well, I guess New Jersey to take on the Giants. But the next home game is against Washington at home in the Dome on Monday night. Now, y'all remember what happened the last time that Washington and the Saints got together, right? That incredible 15-point fourth quarter comeback. Well, I think if I were you, I would want to be there in the Dome on Monday, October 8th, to be ready for that game, just in case we get some kind of repeat fireworks. Washington looks different. The Saints look a little bit different, a lot more explosive on offense, so you don't want to miss it. I'm going to tell you the easiest way to get there: Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is an online ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. With Vivid Seats, listeners can watch their favorite teams in person. Vivid Seats has great prices and an easy purchasing experience. Enter the podcast code Locked On, and listeners can receive $20 off of orders $200 or more. Go to the App Store or Google Play, download the Vivid Seats app, and enter promo code Locked On to receive $20 off of orders $200 or more. All Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by a 100% guarantee. That's promo code Locked On, $20 off of your $200 purchase. Experiences that last a lifetime, and let Vivid Seats help you get to the game. All right, Who Dat Nation, welcome back. It's time to close this baby out with some of the biggest stories from around the NFL week two action, or at least the Sunday and Thursday of week two. The biggest thing is this morning it was announced Carson Wentz has been medically cleared to return as a Philadelphia Eagles quarterback. Oh, they don't want him at corner, I can promise you that. He's a great athlete, but they don't want that smoke. So with Carson Wentz returning, that means that the Eagles are potentially back to being a complete contender. There's been a little bit of, their defense was a little shoddy up against Tampa Bay's offense, but they bring those kinds of problems and stuff. So they might have some other issues, or it might have just been a repeat of what happened week one. Ryan Fitzpatrick might just be that dude. Y'all saw him all swagged out in D-Jack stuff in the post-game presser yesterday. That was hilarious. But Carson Wentz is coming back. That means no more Nick Foles for the Eagles. All y'all that wanted to trade for Nick Foles that talked about that, I hope you've learned your lesson after watching two games, potentially a third game, depending on how ready he's been cleared. It depends now on how ready the coaching staff feels that he is to get out there. I think he's pretty ready. I think we'll see him week three. But so Carson Wentz medically cleared, should be coming back very soon. Undrafted free agent rookie running back Philip Lindsay, who was one of my favorite guys, running backs coming out of the draft, has become the first undrafted free agent player, rookie, to gain 100 scrimmage yards in each of his first two games. Shout out Philip Lindsay. I see what you're doing up in Denver, in Mile High City. Michael Thomas set a little record of his own. Most receptions in a season's first two games with 28, beating out Andre Rison's 26. Michael Thomas is, of course, at the moment leading the league in receptions, and he's second in receiving yards. Just before the Saints game, or the night before the Saints game, Josh Gordon, they announced that Josh Gordon was going to be cut. And of course, they announced it early enough so that teams would start to send in offers and things like that. But the Browns are now confident, pretty confident sounding, that they're going to be able to trade wide receiver Josh Gordon, who's had a little bit of a troubled past in his 6 years with the with the Browns. He was suspended for a couple of games his first year. He only played a few his second. He was out entirely during the 2016 due to substance abuse or violation of the substance abuse policy. He played five games last year and then had yet to hit the field this year. And so, you know, now they've just made, you know, the way that they said it was that they've invested a lot of time and they've invested a lot of attention into Josh Gordon's future, but it's just not working out and it's time for them to move on. So interesting to see where he ends up. Some people are saying that that New Orleans might be an underdog in that trade. I don't know about all that. They still have Cameron Meredith to get into the system. Traquan Smith is slowly catching on. So I'm gonna say we're just going to see what happens with those guys. But Tommy Lee Lewis did get hurt, so there might be an opening at wide receiver, even though Austin Carr is still around. Who knows? I don't know. I don't want to speculate. But keep an eye out, see what happens with Josh Gordon today. And then finally, Vontae Davis, veteran cornerback, formerly of the Colts, and now formerly of the Buffalo Bills, retired at halftime of the Bills and Chargers game as they went into the locker room. They were down big at halftime. And you know what Vontae just said? I was out on that field and I just realized this wasn't for me anymore. He took a shower. He changed clothes. He got dressed. He got in the car. He left and he told the coaches deuces. What a crazy scenario, right? Like to just be halfway through a game, down big and just kind of decide, you know what? Bump this noise. I'm done with this. And then just like go. And then he still used the facility showers and then like got dressed and everything. And then just like moseying on out the door after that. I love that part of the story. Lorenzo Alexander, linebacker for the Bills, was interviewed after poor guy got stuck getting asked all these questions about, have you ever seen this before? He's like, no, not in Pop Warner, not in high school, not in college, not in the pros, never seen anything like this before. He didn't say anything to us. We just found out when we went out in the second half, they just said, yo, Vontae is not coming out. He retired. So that is crazy. Shout out to Vontae Davis for just living his life and doing what he's got to do. A lot of people are coming at him. He's going to hear a lot of negative stuff about being a quitter because he posted some stuff on social media not too long ago about like the only people that don't succeed are those who quit and whatever. But you know what? Shout out him for just like having the wherewithal to say, you know what? I'm Gucci. I don't need to be here anymore. Crazy, crazy stuff. All right, everybody, that does it for today's Locked On Saints. Come back tomorrow as we dive deeper into the analysis of Sunday's matchup. And keep in mind that later this week, Aaron Freeman, host of Locked On Falcons, and I will have a crossover episode coming up on our crossover Wednesday, is brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network and brought to you by MyBookie. You do not want to miss that. Thank you so much, everybody, for coming through. Once again, I am Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at RossJacksonASC. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Find Locked On Saints on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Podknife, Stitcher, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. Just be sure to subscribe so that you know when the newest episodes drop every Monday through Friday. Rate, review, share, retweet. Thank you so much, everybody, for all of your support. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust, Who Dat Nation, I'll holla at you.